Hey everyone, welcome back to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FANG company, and this is where I break down what's actually happening at the frontier of artificial intelligence. Big thanks to today's sponsors. Ada, who helps businesses integrate AI into their workflows. Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI all the way to SoHe, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a serious portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale, and their Glow Accelerator that makes AI models run faster and cheaper. All right, we've got a packed episode today. Robot training grounds, AI vehicle inspections, a cloud underdog raising serious money, Microsoft's sustainability problem, and a peek inside Trump's AI brain trust. Let's get into it. Okay, story one, and this one genuinely excited me when I saw it come through from MIT AI News. The headline is, AI agents create virtual playgrounds to help robots get crucial training data. And when I say playground, I mean that almost literally. So the system is called SceneSmith, and what it does is use collaborative AI agents to generate realistic 3D environments. We're talking kitchens, hotel rooms, living rooms, basically any domestic space you can think of, and then robots can practice doing everyday chores inside these simulated worlds. Now, why does this matter? Let me back up for a second. One of the biggest bottlenecks in robotics right now, like one of the most frustrating, expensive, and time-consuming problems, is getting enough training data. Physical robots need to learn how to navigate the real world, pick up objects, open cabinets, not knock your coffee off the counter, and if you want to train a robot to do all of that reliably, you need it to encounter those scenarios thousands, maybe millions of times. Doing that in the real world is brutally slow and expensive. You need physical hardware, physical spaces, human supervision, and every time the robot messes up, which is often, you're resetting the environment manually. It's like teaching someone to cook by letting them burn down your kitchen over and over again. Not scalable. So the industry has been moving towards simulation, generate virtual environments, train the robot in there, and then transfer what it learned into the real world. That concept is called sim to real transfer, and it's been a major research area for years. The problem has always been, how do you make the simulation realistic enough that the skills actually transfer? A robot trained in a cartoonish fake kitchen might still be completely lost in your actual kitchen. And that's where SceneSmith comes in. Instead of handcrafting these environments, which takes enormous time from human designers, they're using collaborative AI agents to build them. Multiple agents working together, each contributing different aspects of the scene design, to produce environments that are diverse, detailed, and physically plausible. You end up with a huge variety of realistic spaces that a robot can train in without anyone having to manually build each one. From a research perspective, this is a really elegant application of multi-agent AI systems. You're essentially using the creativity and generative power of AI to solve a data problem for a completely different domain of AI, robotics. It's AI bootstrapping AI, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this pattern. The implications here are significant. Companies like Figure, Physical Intelligence, Boston Dynamics, 1X, everyone racing to build capable humanoid or semi-humanoid robots, they all have this same training data hunger. A tool like SceneSmith could meaningfully accelerate the timeline for getting robots into homes and commercial settings. I'd keep a close eye on where this research goes next, because whoever cracks scalable, realistic simulation environments at scale has a serious advantage in the robotics race. All right, story two, and this one is a bit more grounded, pun intended. Self-Inspection, a startup out of San Diego, just raised $3 million in outside investment for its AI-powered vehicle inspection service. This comes from TechCrunch AI, and it's a good case study in a crowded but real problem space. So let's set the scene. Vehicle inspections are kind of a nightmare for a lot of people and businesses. Whether you're an individual getting your car checked out, a rental company managing a fleet, an insurance company assessing damage, or a dealership doing pre-sale evaluations, inspections are slow, inconsistent, and expensive when done by humans. You need trained inspectors. They have to physically walk around the vehicle, document everything, write reports. It takes time and it scales terribly. What Self-Inspection is pitching is an AI-powered alternative. The idea, and this is consistent with what a number of players in this space are building, is that you use computer vision and machine learning to analyze images or video of a vehicle and automatically detect damage, assess condition, and generate an inspection report. Fast, cheap, consistent. The pitch basically writes itself. Now, $3 million is a seed stage check. This isn't a massive round, it's conviction capital. Investors are saying, we believe in this team and this problem enough to give you runway to prove the model. And the fact that Self-Inspection, founded in 2021, is only now announcing this raise suggests they've been heads down building, which I actually like. Sometimes the most dangerous companies are the ones that weren't blasting press releases the whole time. The competitive landscape here is real, though. There are other companies working on AI vehicle inspection. You've got players in the insurance tech space, fleet management software companies building this in, even some of the big automotive data companies moving in this direction. Self-inspection is claiming they have them all beat, which is a bold claim with $3 million in the bank. What I'd want to know is where their edge actually is. Is it the model accuracy, the speed, the integration with existing workflows, the pricing model? Because at the end of the day, in a market like this, you win on execution and distribution. Not just on having a good demo. That said, totally valid problem. Clearly real market demand, and the AI fundamentals here are solid. Computer vision for visual inspection is a well-understood application. The question is whether they can scale it and sell it effectively. For folks in the AI practitioner space, this is a great example of a vertical AI application that's close to defensible if you get the data flywheel spinning. Every inspection they do trains their model better, which makes them more accurate, which attracts more customers, which generates more data. That's the playbook, and it's a good one if you can get it going. Story 3. Okay, this one I genuinely love because it's a wait. How have I not heard of these people? Story. Railway, a cloud platform based in San Francisco, just announced a $100 million Series BTQ Ventures, led the round with FPV Ventures, Redpoint, and Unusual Ventures also participating. And VentureBeat AI had the story. Here's the wild part. Railway has quietly built up 2 million developers as users without spending a single dollar on marketing. Zero. That is not a typo. So who is Railway and what do they do? They're positioning themselves as an AI-native cloud infrastructure platform, essentially a challenger to AWS, Google Cloud, Azure, and they're building specifically for the way AI applications are being developed and deployed today, rather than the way enterprise software was being built a decade ago. Here's the context you need. Legacy cloud infrastructure, and I say legacy generously because AWS is still incredibly powerful, was designed around a different paradigm. Monolithic apps, containers, long-running services, predictable workloads, AI applications, especially modern ones, have very different characteristics. They're often bursty, they require GPU access on demand, they need to scale up fast and scale down fast, they involve complex dependencies, model weights, inference pipelines. The old mental model doesn't quite fit. What Railway is claiming and what seems to be resonating with developers based on that 2 million user number is that they've built an infrastructure layer that just makes sense for this new era. Developers can deploy things faster, the developer experience is cleaner, and it's tuned for the kinds of workloads that AI-native applications actually have. The no marketing, 2 million developer thing is genuinely remarkable and worth unpacking. That's almost entirely word of mouth and organic developer community growth. And in the infrastructure space, that kind of adoption is a really strong signal. Developers are famously opinionated and famously resistant to switching tools unless something is genuinely better. If Railway got 2 million developers without trying, imagine what happens when they actually spend some of that $100 million raise. Also puts them firmly in this is not a small bet territory. Investors are wagering that the cloud infrastructure layer is going to see real disruption as AI workloads become the dominant type of compute being run. That's a thesis I find very credible. The question is whether Railway can compete at scale with the hyperscalers, or whether they carve out a profitable niche as the best developer experience for AI-native startups and mid-market companies. Either outcome could be a very good business for those of you building or investing in the AI infrastructure space. Railway is worth watching closely. They're the kind of company that can seem like it came out of nowhere right before it becomes unavoidable. Story 4, and I want to be real with you here, because this story is important and I don't think it gets enough serious attention in our community. TechCrunch AI is reporting that Microsoft's sustainability goals are being significantly threatened by its push into AI and cloud services. Specifically, the breakneck growth in data centers that's required to power all of this AI infrastructure is putting real pressure on Microsoft's commitments around energy and carbon. Let me give you some context on why this matters beyond just tech company not hitting green targets. Microsoft made some pretty ambitious sustainability commitments, carbon negative by 2030, removing all historical carbon emissions by 2050. These were headline-grabbing pledges that positioned Microsoft as a climate leader in the tech industry. And then AI happened at scale, training large language models, running inference at billions of requests, building out the infrastructure for Copilot and Azure AI services. All of this requires an enormous amount of compute, which requires an enormous amount of physical hardware, which requires an enormous amount of electricity. Data centers are already significant energy consumers, and the rate at which they're being built and expanded right now is unprecedented. The uncomfortable truth in our industry is that the AI boom and aggressive climate commitments are in real tension with each other right now. And Microsoft isn't alone in this. Google has talked about similar challenges. The growth in AI compute demand is outpacing the ability to source clean energy at the pace and scale needed. Now, to be fair to Microsoft, they are genuinely investing in clean energy solutions. They've signed power purchase agreements for renewable energy. They're exploring nuclear power, including investments in small modular reactors. They're working on efficiency improvements. This is not a company that has abandoned sustainability. But the math is getting harder as the AI ambitions get bigger. From an industry perspective, I think this is a forcing function for two things. One, more investment in energy-efficient AI hardware. If your power bill is threatening your sustainability targets and your margins, you have enormous incentive to make your chips and your models more efficient. This is actually good for the industry long term. And two, it raises real questions about the pace and scale of AI deployment and whether we're thinking carefully enough about the full cost. For investors and leaders in this space, energy and sustainability constraints are not abstract future problems. They are right now limiting factors on where data centers can be built, how fast they can come online, and how regulators and communities are going to respond to this expansion. This is a real business risk, not just a reputational one, and honestly, as someone who cares about both AI progress and the planet, I think our community needs to be more honest about this trade-off and more creative about solving it, rather than just hoping renewable energy deployment catches up in time. All right, last story, and this one is a fascinating look at the policy and power side of AI. Wired AI published a piece titled, "This is Donald Trump's AI Brain Trust," and it's giving us a rare inside look at how AI policy is being shaped inside the current administration. The quote that caught my eye immediately was from a senior administration official who said, and I'm going to read this directly, "It's not an argument with two sides, it's an argument with 10 sides." And honestly, that quote tells you almost everything you need to know about the current state of AI policy in Washington. Because they're right, AI policy is not a simple debate. It's not just regulate or don't regulate. It involves national security, economic competitiveness, intellectual property, labor markets, education, civil liberties, energy infrastructure, international relations with China and allies, the list goes on. Every one of those dimensions has its own set of stakeholders with legitimate and often conflicting interests. So who's actually in this brain trust? The Wired piece is pulling back the curtain on the network of advisors, industry figures, and officials who are shaping the administration's approach to AI. And what's interesting is the diversity of voices, or in some cases, the specific voices that seem to be dominant. You have people with strong ties to the tech industry, people with national security backgrounds, and people who come at this from an economic competitiveness angle. The Trump administration's general instinct on AI regulation is less restrictive than what the Biden administration was moving toward. The Biden executive order on AI was a fairly expansive attempt to establish guardrails and reporting requirements. Trump rolled that back pretty quickly. The current posture seems more oriented around, let's not slow down American AI development, with a heavy emphasis on winning the competition with China. That's a coherent philosophy, and there are smart people who genuinely believe it's the right call. The counter-argument is that without some regulatory structure, you create risks, both in terms of AI safety and in terms of market dynamics, that could actually undermine long-term American leadership in the field. Neither side of that debate is obviously wrong, which is exactly why there are 10 sides to the argument. What I find most interesting from a practitioner's perspective is how much the shaping of AI policy right now will determine the competitive landscape for years to come. Export controls on AI chips and models, regulations around data use, standards for AI safety testing, government procurement of AI systems, all of these policy decisions have direct business implications for every company in this space. If you're building AI products, if you're investing in AI companies, or if you're leading an organization deploying AI, you need to be paying attention to what's coming out of Washington. Not because you necessarily have to lobby or engage politically, but because the regulatory environment is going to shape your operating constraints in ways that are hard to predict and hard to react to quickly once they land. The fact that it's an argument with 10 sides actually gives me some optimism. Weirdly, it means the people in the room understand the complexity. Whether they can navigate it well, that's a different question. But at least they're not pretending it's simple. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of AI Special Report. We covered a lot of ground: robot training simulations with Sean Smith, AI vehicle inspections getting funded, railway challenging the cloud giants, Microsoft's sustainability crunch, and the messy, complicated reality of AI policy in the Trump White House. This is AI Special Report, brought to you by Ada Ago Consulting and Zen Semiconductor. If you enjoyed today's episode and want more great tech content, check out our sister show Unzip in the Ada Podcast Network. It's a fantastic listen for anyone who wants to stay sharp on the broader world of software and tech. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if this episode was useful to you, share it with someone who needs to be paying attention to this stuff. Full show notes with links and details on all of today's stories are at the link in show notes. I'll see you next time.